If you would turn to Romans chapter 8 with me, please. We are talking kingdom. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. That's Romans chapter 8. We're going to start at verse 1. If you're there, say amen. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit is life in Christ Jesus, has made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God did by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh. On account of sin, he condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled. It is us who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because carnal mind is at enmity with God, for it is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can be. So then those who are of the flesh cannot please God. Kingdom blessings bring overflow and overthrow. Many Christians today would say that they want God's will for their lives, and rightfully so. But few can tell you what God's will is for their life. If you ask, well, what is God's will for your life? They may answer, oh, I don't know. You know, I'm trying to find out. I'm trying to figure it out. I'm praying about it, or whatever it might be. But thank God for good teaching. We know that God's will for our life is his word. If you want to know what God's will is for your life, it is in this book. His word is his will. Say, his word is his will. We know God's will is his word, so we apply the word when situations arise. If there is an attack on your body, if there's an attack on your finances, if your relationships are going awry, whatever it may be, the answer is always the word. It is never going to come out of your answer will never come out of your flesh. If an answer came from your flesh, more times than not, that was not the will of the Lord for you. We know that, right? Amen. We find God's will concerning the thing that we are up against, and we declare it, we believe it, we meditate it, and we enforce it. When Jesus' will is being done in your life, his will gets done in the earth. When his will is getting done in your life, his will gets done in the earth. Why? It's obedience. It's obedience. He can trust you. We drive out darkness. When trouble comes, you must manifest the kingdom of God. The Spirit of God living on the inside of you is always willing, and he knows more than you do. That's why it's important to never ask yourself, self, what do you think we should do here? Because I can promise you, it's not always a righteous answer. He is our counselor. He is our advocate. He is our attorney. He is our go-between. You see, he goes, he is, I believe the word is paracletus. Thank you. I always say parakeet. That's not correct. He's been called a dove, but not a parakeet. I don't think the comparison's the same. Praise the Lord. but you see, he knows the word. He knows the will of the Father. So when you allow him to come and be your advocate, oh, he's never lost a case. He's never lost a battle. He goes before the Father and says, Lord, she's pleading the blood. She's pleading the word. So Father, this is what we're going to do on her behalf, because he always does what he says. Amen. He's faithful to his word. Jesus has given us everything. Our relationship with him is so important. It's so vital. Many believe that performance or being good or doing good things for one another is getting closer to the heart of God. Although God does call us to love our neighbor, and he expects us to respond in love and walk in love, that is not going to bring you closer to the heart of God. That's religion. And religion will never produce or bring you to an experience with God. It's only a form of godliness. When you understand that Jesus made it to where we can live and operate in a kingdom, the kingdom of God, all the time, your perspective and your walk will change. You recognize that we're victors. You understand that lack does not belong to you. It doesn't belong in your finances. It doesn't belong in your children's lives. It doesn't belong in your talk. It doesn't belong in anything you have. It's not a part of the promise. It is not the yes and amen. You partake in the precious promises. In John 14, Jesus tells us, or Jesus said, ask anything in my name, and I will do it so that the Father may be glorified. This is how we know how Father really is. This is how we know he's like. He's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Jesus didn't just say things to say things. He only said what the Father said. So if this came from Jesus, it came from Father. Jesus and Father are saying, come on, sister. Come on, baby girl. Ask me. Come on, ask me. Get up here. Think higher thoughts. Think higher thoughts. Get your mind out of your flesh and come over into the spiritual realm where I've called you to, where I've created you to be. Amen. Ooh, I'm getting ahead of myself. That's that parakeet. Praise the Lord. How many of you know God's not nervous? Amen. He comes in even in your weaknesses. Oh, don't you know he is so good at coming in on our weaknesses. Thank God we serve a God that doesn't just take our best of best. He comes in our very meekest, weakest, broken, beaten up stages, and he says, come up here with me, baby girl. Let's go. Come on. Here's my word. Here's my blood. Here's my son. Here's my name. Let's go do something. Let's go do something in the world. Amen. That's where Jesus conquered it all. That's where we are to abide. We're to abide in him, and he is to abide in us. Oh, how glorious that relationship is. That is relationship. That is the secret place. That is the secret place. You're abiding and you're dwelling. And guess what? Let me tell you something. Satan doesn't get to come into the secret place. It does not belong to him. It's reserved for you. It's reserved for me. It's reserved between you and Father. Oh, what a glorious place. Oh, that we could be there all the time. Thank you, Jesus, for Holy Spirit. God, we're so thankful. Oh, hallelujah. This is the kingdom, and it belongs to us because of Jesus. He is the one. He's the one that's done the work. He's the one doing the work. Hallelujah. So switch systems. If you're still struggling and you're kind of walking in the worldly system or the world's kingdom, if you will, I'm saying today, let's switch systems. I am so thankful for Victory Church. What I learned when I became a member of this church. Listen, I've been a Christian all of my life, and what I know was right, but there was so much more that belonged to me that I was not aware of. I thought the struggle was part of the plan. I thought the struggle was part of it all, but I had no idea that I could get to a higher place in him. That even when trouble came, it didn't have to be something that was rooted and grounded in my life, but I could speak to a thing and watch it walk out. I could declare a thing and watch it come in. Oh, this is the God that we serve. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. We do not operate in the world system. We live in the natural world, but we are supernatural beings. When you got saved, something happened. You were a new creation. That wasn't just a pretty little description in this book. You became a new creature. You are now a citizen of heaven who lives on a natural earth. We aren't operating in the natural trying to be spiritual. We are spiritual operating in this natural. We're putting a super on the natural. And that's the way it's intended to be for believers. learning who we are in Christ and what truly it means to be a joint heir. We read in Romans, we are not to be led by our flesh, but by the Spirit. The Spirit of the living God who created the universe, who created the stars and the heavens and the fall foliage and all of the things, who knows you better than you know yourself, who he designed a purpose and a plan for your life so good. A Jeremiah 29:11. Oh, the enemy does not want you to have a Jeremiah 29:11. He absolutely does not want you to have a Jeremiah 29:11. He says, I know the plans that I have for you. They are good. They are good. And a future and a hope. Oh, and he paints this beautiful picture. He doesn't add in there, and along the way, you're going to fall flat on your face. And you're going to do, then you're going to mess up. And he doesn't talk about any of that. You want to know why he doesn't see that when he looks at you? He sees you as he designed you, as he created you. When he speaks to you, he speaks to your spirit that's been made perfect in him. He speaks to the potential on the inside of you. He doesn't talk to your flesh. He doesn't talk to your flesh. He talks to who he created you to be. He talks to you up here. Oh, hallelujah. We need to change our perspective. We're not some broke, busted, disgusted Christian trying to get somewhere. We are victors. Victory, victory. We are in victory. We're not trying to get to victory. We stand in victory and declare from victory. We are of the kingdom of God. Woo! Praise God. Hallelujah. Spiritual truth. It's always under attack. Oh, the enemy hates spiritual truth. Why? Because he can't do anything about it. He has no authority. He has no authority when it comes to spiritual truth. You might give me a little bit more mic. The enemy will always come to steal the word. Always. If you get a revelation on Sunday morning from pastor and it just rocked you, it just moved you, you knew it came right off of the Holy Ghost press. And before you got home, you got a phone call from your sister-in-law who just wanted to give you a piece of her mind about her neighbor who went over the property line. Listen, you think I'm teasing and I'm not. The enemy does not want that word to get into good soil. He does not want it rooted and grounded in you. Because when it is, things change. Circumstances change. Peoples change. Come on. The Bible says, now these are the ones that sown among the thorns. They are the ones who hear the word and the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches and desires for other things will enter in, making it unfruitful. Let me tell you something. If you've been in prayer about something or if you've sown a seed, and you have not yet seen the fulfillment of that, I would employ you to go back and look at that scripture and say, okay, did any of these things happen? I would go back and say, Lord, bring it back to my remembrance. Study a thing. Proclaim a thing. Listen, you must protect your seed. The word is seed. You must, if you get a word, oh, protect it. Protect that word. Meditate on it. Speak it. Declare it. Sing it. Pray it. I don't care. Before you go to bed, let that be the last thing that's on your mind. Why? It's life. It's life. It is the John 10:10. It's life more abundantly. That's how you get it. That's how you flow in it. You stay in your authority, speaking the word, forgiving, staying in your love walk. Woo, that one was a big one for me. When Brother Hagin told that to me, because I felt like he spoke right to me when he said that. He said that the Lord instructed him, this is how the enemy trips up so many believers. They get out of their love walk. He'll send somebody, oh, he knows the Karens to send to you or the Donalds that come over and they'll just push every button you've got. You know the ones that want to shop down the center of the grocery aisle and walk like this? And you're like, I need to, oh, and you, just little things, And then before you know it, you've said something or you've done something and you've gotten out of your love walk. Brother Hagin said any time that he and his wife had any little bit of a spout, he said they hardly ever fought, but if they ever did, he would immediately correct himself on the inside and make it right, because he gave no access to Satan. Satan got no access to his life. None. Your love walk, you have got to make sure and ask the Holy Spirit to help you, because he totally will help you. Holy Spirit, help me to maintain my love walk today. Help me, because we need his help. Amen. Many fell to these right here. Worry, complaining, unbelief, speaking in opposition of what you're standing in faith for. Pastor would say this is putting weed on your seed. If you have been standing in faith for something, whether it be healing, whether it be finances, relationship, children, you've sown something financially, you've got to stay away from this. This is where it gets cloudy. The enemy loves, listen to that rain. I believe that's prophetic. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. But the enemy is always wanting to get you a little over here. Just a little bit. We aren't going. Because why? It makes it unfruitful. If he can produce this, if he can get you to produce this, then it makes the word unfruitful. So if you are wanting to see the fruit, you must do what the word says in order to see the fruit. If you have sown the word, then you must walk in your faith, proclaiming, loving, forgiving, refusing. If I don't care if fear is beating down on your head, you do what, like Kelly Copeland says, I refuse to fear. Refuse it. Some people will do this very thing and then say, oh, well, I guess it wasn't God's will. It wasn't God's will for me to have that car. It wasn't God's will for me to have that job. It just wasn't God's will. Was it? Or was it that you didn't stay in your faith? Or was it that you allowed the enemy to come and pluck that little seed up? You cannot have overflow if you don't know what belongs to you and what doesn't belong to you. Those are two areas that believers can struggle in. Not knowing what belongs to you and not knowing what does not belong to you. Sickness does not belong to you. Lack does not belong to you. Overflow is Satan's overthrow. The definition of overflow is to fill to capacity and beyond its limits, to have boundless supply, a surplus. That's what Jesus thinks about you. That's what he wants for you. What does Pastor say? Just us, that's enough. Or what is it? I don't know, something like that. She's so cute. I just love her. The definition of overthrow is to remove forcibly from power. A removal from power. This is what happens in the spirit realm when you stand in your authority. Overthrow. When you live in overflow, guess what? Satan is overthrown. He has no right in your business. He has no right in your business. What's your business? The kingdom. Kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. That's your business. And he doesn't have any right to be there. Your job is to kick him out. Your job is to say, absolutely not. When thoughts come, oh, because they come. And the feelings that those thoughts bring, just not always, it's just a little thought. There's always a feeling that comes with it, and it's ugh. Oh, like Pastor says, he brings a flip chart every day to try to sell you something in hopes that you'll just buy one little trinket from him. Slam the door in his face. Slam the door in his face. Absolutely not. If a thought comes of sickness or something's bad's going to happen, you take it and you throw it down and say, I come against that in the name of Jesus. I have life and life more abundantly. You begin to declare the promise over that situation. Don't you take another lie. Don't you take another lie. Cast it down. Cast it down. From your high seat of authority. Not some down here on like a little bicycle, you know, you're riding. No. Absolutely not. We are joint heirs in a kingdom. The kingdom of God. This isn't apples to apples. This isn't Satan's kingdom and God's kingdom comparing apples to apples. Absolutely not. This is the kingdom. There is no other kingdom above. Everything else is beneath. This is always above and not beneath. You are above and not beneath. You are a joint heir. You operate from your high seat of authority. It's not just here and there and sometimes and maybe. It's continual every day, 24/7, until we get to go home to be with the Father. And guess what? We're still ruling and reigning then. Hallelujah. When you are blessed, the enemy loses. And I'm not just talking finances. You could be right in the middle of a mess and begin to sing. Woo! The enemy does not like it when we sing praises. Oh, he does not like it when we sing praises. Oh, he does not like it when we sing praises. Why? Oh, he wants us. Oh, I think I'll stay in my pajamas today and just, I'm going to journal and talk about all the time. No. Glory to God. I serve a God who's never lost a day in his life. I serve a God who's victorious. I am an overcomer. I can do all things through Jesus Christ who strengthens me. I am filled to the overflow with the Holy Spirit of the living God. I am filled with the light and the life and the Zoe life of God running through my veins. Oh, hallelujah. And this is what we are supposed to live because God needs you to be a witness in the earth. And let me tell you, when people see you prospering, and I'm not talking just financially, when you're at work and you've always got a song in your heart and a melody and a smile on your face, people do not understand that. They cannot comprehend it. Why? Because they're coming from the natural. You are not natural. You are a supernatural being. You're super on their natural. I know when I go to work, before I walk through the door, I proclaim, I kick out, I take dominion. I tell my day how it's going to be. It's what I do. Why? I'm an ambassador. You are an ambassador of a kingdom. Not just any kingdom, the kingdom. Oh, hallelujah. Woo. Come on, somebody. When Jesus looks at you, I said this earlier, he sees you at the level he created you to be. When he speaks to you, he's not speaking to your flesh's potential. He's speaking to your spirit's potential. He's kingdom-minded. He will never remind you of your past. Why? Because he don't know about it. You are being reminded of your past from some other source. Guess what? You don't live at that zip code anymore. You don't get mail there anymore. You are a new creation in Christ Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. So if condemnation comes, if something comes and says, yeah, but you, blah, 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 I say, yeah, no, I don't even know her anymore. What did Paul say? I've wronged no man. Paul, He murdered people. He drug ladies out by their hair. Had people jailed because of their faith. Had the boldness to say, I've wronged no man. Why? He had an encounter with a God. He was no longer the same person. Not physically, not mentally, not spiritually, not in any way. He was transformed. How? He renewed his mind. He said, renew your mind daily. You renew your mind daily. Why? Because the enemy shows up daily. Oh, he's a hard worker. He shows up early. He stays late. He works through lunch. He never takes a day off. He doesn't have sick days. He works hard. He works very hard. So guess what? He'll wait and watch and watch and watch. He studies. Those little devils, they study. They watch and they wait just for the right opportune moment and say, you might not have said that today. They're probably going to think less of you now. He'll insert just a little thought. Just a little thought. And then you'll take that little thought and you meditate it. And then you're like, oh, I shouldn't have said that. Oh, I shouldn't have said that. How could I have said that? We amplify it. We amplify it. This is how Satan works. If he came all in like, we'd be like, pew, 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 get out of here. Pew, pew. You know, we would. We would. But that's not how he works. He just... He just inches in closer and closer. That is why it's so important to be led by the Spirit of God. So you can say, I see you. I see you right there. You get out of here, you lying, foul spirit. There's no truth in you. You shut your mouth. You cannot be nice to him. You cannot give him an inch. You can't do it. I heard Smith Wigglesworth say this. I read his book so I can hear him talking in my mind. Y'all know y'all do it too. When you're reading. He said, he used this illustration, and I'm sure you've heard it before, but I'm going to tell it anyway. He used, of course, this was back a long time ago, a lady standing at the train station, and her little doggie had followed her to the train station. And she said, now go on, get on home, get out of here, scoot. And that doggie was like, just moved on closer. Now get on, I said get, go, go, shoo. That dog just scooted in a little closer. And finally she said, I said get on out of here. That dog took off. Why? What happened? Authority. She used her authority. You cannot mess around. You have to walk in your authority. You give no place to the devil. No place. We are ambassadors of a kingdom. This is why we operate by faith. We are kingdom minded in all we do. It's our right. It's our faith in God. It's not something we use like a spare tire when we get into trouble. Oh, time to put my faith on it. Let me pull my tools out of the closet. Listen, something that you don't practice often, you lose. You won't be as good as you once was. Mm-mm. You won't. But something that you participate in regularly. Oh, my goodness. Let me tell you something. When you get in the presence of God, even if it's just for a few moments, sometimes I think to myself, oh, God, I don't want to ever leave this. I would just lay here for eternity if I could just be in this with you all the time. How precious his Spirit is. Oh, he's so good. But thank God he never leaves us. He never leaves us. He never forsakes us. When you spend time with him, you'll discover he is a God of abundant provision. So you have to be mindful of who you are in that kingdom. Switch systems. And you're thinking, well, I don't really know. I'm not really sure how to do that. I'm not really sure how to, what you mean when you say the world system. The world system is worry, doubt, fear, unbelief, lack, trying to scrape up, trying to crunch numbers, trying to make it make sense, robbing Peter to pay Paul, if you will. That is not for you. It was never designed for you to carry stress. It was not designed for you to be sick. You were not meant to walk through this world broken. Not in your body, not in your heart, not in your mind, not in your spirit. Mm-mm. No. I grew up believing that all of the bad things that had happened, that God wanted to use those as a testimony. That upset me. Because that means I had to talk and think about it, and it kept me in a place of, oh, I don't, Lord, I don't want to be used then. If that's what it means, I don't want to be used. Mm-mm. No. Now listen, I do believe God has called people to take things and use it as a wrecking ball for the kingdom of God, to wreck hell. But you better be 100% sure that's what God's called you to do. Because the enemy would love nothing more to use that as a hook. To keep you hooked just enough. One leg in and one leg out from your past to who you are now. And every once in a while he'll send an old friend by. Hey, what you doing this weekend? You gonna come down to the lake and play some horseshoes? No, thank you. I love you. I'm praying for you. Hey, you want to go to church on Sunday? You're not that person anymore. When the enemy tries to get you to regurgitate anything from your past, you remind him of who you are and where you're going and where he's going. Mm-hmm. You're thinking, what? Oh, yes. He does not like for you to remind him of his future. Mm-mm. He likes to remind you of your past. He don't want to talk about future things. He likes to talk about things back here. He wants to keep you looking in the rearview mirror. But see, we serve a God that's always moving forward. It's always moving forward. He's always moving forward. Mm-mm. He will... let me tell you something. There is a tactic that I like to use. And it's called ripping the rug out from Satan. If there's something that he's annoying me with that's kind of making me feel, ugh, I rip the rug out from him. I'll call that person. Hey, girl, listen, if I said anything to offend you, you know I love you. I'm praying for you. Please forgive me if I've hurt you in any way. I rip the rug out from him. I give him no more time. I deal with it immediately. If I've done something or I've said something or I noticed something, I do not allow him to bite at me. I rip the rug out from underneath him. Then he has nothing. He has nothing when you do that. If you'll take care of it, don't let it linger. Don't let it linger. Don't. You don't have to. You are to operate in the kingdom of God. That is knowing who you are in Christ from your high seat of authority. I like to say this, Father, whatever you have written about me for this day, I come into agreement with that. I thank you, God, that you always place me at the right place, at the right time, with the right people. I thank you for God assignments and God appointments. I come into agreement with that. I align myself with your word and what you say about me. I submit and commit myself to you, Holy Spirit. Why? The angels are trying to get you somewhere. And if they are constantly having to chase you around like a... No. I align myself. Angels, come on, let's go. Where are we going? Let's go. Let's go. Purpose. Purpose. God has purpose in your life. God has purpose in your life. He can use you at HEB. He can use you at the library. He can use you anywhere your body is. God can use you. Operating in the kingdom just isn't for you. It is for someone else. Everything Jesus did was for someone else. When Jesus rose from the dead, he spent 40 more days on the earth. What did he teach about in those 40 days? He could have taught about anything. He chose to teach the kingdom. That was what he wanted to leave the disciples with. Because he knew there was a power coming. Oh, that would enable them to walk it out. And everything that he had taught them up until that moment, everything that he had done and accomplished and fulfilled, he got those 40 days to teach them the kingdom of God. And I can promise you this. If you being filled with the Holy Spirit has more than 40 days to learn about the kingdom of God, you should be raising some dead, healing some sick, opening some blind eyes. Is it for today, though? Is it for today? You better believe it. You better believe it is. So if you want to begin to see God do some things in your life, get yourself over into this kingdom realm. Take yourself out of the net. You are no longer, you are trying to fit a square in a circle. You don't even fit here. You don't even belong here. You are a supernatural being trying to make it work in a natural realm. You don't belong. You get yourself over here in the kingdom of God and you begin to instruct the natural how it's going to be. That is the way God designed it to be. That is the system that you are to be working in. You begin to tell your finances what they are going to do. You begin to tell your body what it has to do. It has to line up with the word of God. It's the truth. It is the truth. It is who you are. It's who God created you to be. So, if there's something going on in your life, you pick this book up. You find out what it says about that and you begin to put your crown on and you begin to proclaim what the word of God said. Operate from your kingdom realm. Go from the pit to the palace. Go from chains to a crown. Go from destruction to dominion. From desperation to proclamation. From lack to overflow. From bondage to overthrow. This is who you are in the kingdom of God. Amen?